So for the last many weeks, we've been talking about thinking about stewarding our money, our stuff, and our time. Hope that's been a blessing for you. But we come this morning to think about another wonderful gift that God has given to us and that we are responsible to steward, and that's stewarding our health. I've been looking forward to getting to this lesson just the whole time that we've been doing this because it's just so, I think, helpful and practical. And I know that thinking about how God owns everything and how God owns our money and how God owns our time requires a mind shift in us from the way the world thinks about these things. When we think about our health, that also probably requires a little bit of a mind shift in how we regularly, consistently, daily, yearly, from youth to old age, think about our health. How often do we think that God owns our health as well? Just broadly, generally speaking, in the worst kinds of ways, when the world thinks about health, we often hear this kind of thing, signs going up, placards, banners. In the world, again, the sort of the worst element of the world will think, it's my body, it's my choice. In other words, there's no consideration of God being the giver and the owner of our health to whom we're responsible. It's my body. It's my choice. And we know that there's no God involved in that, or at least not our God, not the God of Scripture, because when they make these kinds of declarations, they go around murdering babies and mutilating themselves. Because it's my body. It's my choice. Totally foreign to God and to Scripture. But a question I have for us this morning is, have we ever asked, why has God given me health? Now, if you're looking at your little note, look on the back side and you'll see our overall trajectory here. We're actually going to be talking next week, God willing, about stewarding poor health. Because there are some of us sitting in this room right now, and we have fake hips, and we have fake knees, and we have fake ankles, and we have all kinds of things. There are some of us in this room right now, and we're going through cancer treatment. Or I just talked to Wayne Sanders, about to start radiation, just finished chemo. So there is an element of stewarding our poor health for sure. And just feel free to answer this, feel free not to answer this. Totally up to you. But I'm just curious. How many of you this morning, if you're willing to raise your hand, would say, I think I'm in pretty good health? Okay, you want to raise your hand about that? That's a pretty good, okay. Now, if you didn't raise your hand on that, I'm thinking that you didn't want to answer it, or you're thinking, frankly, I'm not in that great of health. I could be in better health. But if you ever ask yourself, why has God given me health? More frequently than not, we ask this kind of question. It's not uncommon to ask, why am I sick? Why am I in such poor health? Why did God allow me to get, and fill in the blank, why did God allow me to get cancer? Why has God allowed me to have heart disease? Why won't God heal me? But it's less common for us to ask, why has God given me good health? Well, as stewards of our health, we need to ask this question. We need to ask in the first, why has God given me health? If you raise your hand, why has God given me health in the first place? Another question, and I want you to help on this. If you were to ask someone on the street who's not a Christian why their health is important, what are some things that they might say? You can call out an answer. Monica?
Live longer.
Okay, to live longer, good. Quality of life. I want a better quality of life. Because there are people that wouldn't necessarily be in the camp of my body, my choice. There are people that, like, I idolize my health. There's another ditch over there. I idolize my health. And these are, I want to live longer. I want to have a good quality of life. Good. Who wants to have a poor quality of life? Nobody wants to have a poor quality of life. Any other thoughts? Here are a few. To live longer, first one on the list. To be happier. To be successful. To be independent. To do what I want to do. So I have the health to do the things that I want to do. So I can pursue the things that I want to pursue. If you were to ask someone who's a Christian and they're thinking about stewarding their health for God's glory, why is their health important? What might a Christian say that would be different than what someone on the street might just say? Again, call out your answer. Molly said, to minister as fully as they are able to maximize our life and our ministry. Good. Monica, again?
Well, we need to be good stewards with everything, even with our own body.
Right.
How we look is a reflection of what God has given us.
Okay. I'm going to call that something else in just a second. Very good.
Body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And just a moment, I'm going to give that one. We're going to talk about that. And what that kind of really means in its nuts and bolts kinds of ways. Here's some ideas. My health is important because I want to be alive so we can praise God. Can we praise God with not so great health? Yeah, and we should. But that's the reason that health is important. To be of service to God and others and to maximize that. Can we be of service to God and others with poor health? Yeah, but can we steward our health and sort of maximize what that might be and look like? Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I think this is what you were getting at, Monica, for good testimony's sake. Not just to appear in a certain way for appearance sake, but for testimony's sake. Right, good. So the big difference, or at least the big difference that ought to be in the way an unbeliever thinks about health and the way a Christian thinks about health, the difference should be based on what God thinks about our health and why God gives to us health. So today we're going to be thinking about God's purposes for our health, and we're going to start with the assumption that we always start with, and that's that our health belongs to God. That's your second point on your outline. And our health belongs to God for two reasons. We'll cover them both. First, our health belongs to God because God made us. He's made us. We've not made ourselves. And he's made us for his glory. Secondly, and we're going to get to that in a moment, our health belongs to God because he has ransomed us. That's what Paul says there. He has purchased our bodies. But first of all, our health belongs to God because God made us. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul, of course, is warning the Corinthian believers to avoid sexual immorality. But what's interesting is the reason he gave for why sexual immorality is off limits. He says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. I think the Holy Spirit-inspired wording there is so curious. He sins against his own body. We just said our bodies belong to God because he made us, but we do have our bodies. They're ours. And do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Wait a second. You just talked to my own body. Yeah, but your own body is not your own. You've been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Sometimes, as Christians, we use these verses to justify some rather self-serving if not self-glorifying behavior. We think, okay, if my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then that's all the more reason for me to care in the maximum kind of way for my body. And with that in mind, we begin to obsess over our diet and food. Or we become fixated on exercise and shaping and forming our body so it looks so fabulous. Or we undergo perpetual regimens to fight the appearance of aging. And if we're not careful, with that mindset, we can actually turn the temple of the Holy Spirit into a desecrated idol, because it's just all about me and us and how I look and appear and feel about myself and my health. But that's not exactly what Paul's talking about. What Paul's really getting at here is that we actually don't own our bodies. Remember, our bodies and our health are God because he made us. But then Paul's second point here is he's ransomed us. He's purchased us with the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our bodies then are doubly not our own. They're God's by way of creation, and they're God's by way of redemption. So two basic Bible principles then that we think about that are foundational to discussing our health are, one, all our health comes from God. Our bodies are God's by creation and redemption, and God has a purpose for everything that happens with our health. Meaning, we don't have a right to complain if God in his providence gives us poor health. And we don't have a right to boast if we have good health, because it all comes from God. And our job as stewards is to trust God, to be content, not in a fatalistic kind of way, but certainly in a faithful way, as we can, as stewards, with our health and with our bodies. And just like with money and time, like they're not split between secular and sacred. They're not split between serving my purposes and serving God's purposes. So our health also is not split, shouldn't be split, between serving ourselves and serving God and his purposes. All the health that God gives us is to be used for his purposes, his glory. And that's not a hard, burdensome thing. It's a wonderful thing that we get to think about and help each other with in terms of our stewardship, including being faithful and caring for our health. Comments or questions about anything at this point before we move on? Julie.
I'm guessing maybe you're going to touch on personal responsibility, though.
We are.
For our health?
Yeah. We're going to talk about three purposes for health right now. And the third one of those is really going to be using our bodies in a right kind of way to enjoy God and his creation, because we can use our bodies in a right kind of way and in a wrong kind of way. And that's where we're going to talk about personal responsibility. So three purposes for health. Until I started working through this lesson, remember, the curriculum we're using is from Capitol Hill Baptist Church. We've said that from the get-go. This is a core curriculum class that they used at Capitol Hill Baptist Church, and that's our main curriculum and for this and the church history class down the hallway. Until I started thinking about this particular lesson, stewarding our health, I don't think I'd ever thought about one of the purposes of God in our health is for us to illustrate God's kingdom. And specifically, in that big theological picture of God making all things new. So we're going to sort of unpack that together this morning. One of the purposes of our health is to illustrate God's kingdom. What do we know from the end of Romans 8 about the condition of the present world, even us, is? Think about Romans 8. Paul ends that by saying the world's doing something. Something's happening in all of creation right now. Remember what it is? It's groaning. This is so illustrated for me when I sit out on our back patio. And some time ago, I don't know exactly when, somewhere up in the woods, some tree fell over onto another tree, and it didn't fall down. It's just this big tree is leaning over against this other tree. And when there's a pretty good breeze, especially when there's a big wind, I hear, I want to tell my grandson, when you hear that, don't be afraid. That's the fall of creation. That's the groaning of creation. It's literally groaning. And I think about that. Like, it's literally moaning and groaning out there in the woods because a tree literally fell against another tree. This is what Paul tells us at the end of Romans 8. This is something horrible. Because of sin, all creation is groaning under the weight and the burden of sin. All creation is subject to corruption, including you and me in our failing health. You know, 3 years ago, I had a full hip replacement in my right hip. And still today, some of you are asking me, how's your hip doing? And I really appreciate that because if you remember, it was kind of a failed surgery. And I was a long, long time in sort of getting back to being able to walk without a limp. And some of you remember that. And you're still asking me, how is your hip? And thank God, my hip is just about perfectly fine. I normally say it's somewhere, I don't know, around 90%. But that's okay because at age 66, nothing of me is more than beyond 50 to 60%. Because this groaning, fallen world we live in. But, remember those wonderful words in Ephesians 2? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then Paul writes, but God. Yet we are living in a fallen, cursed, corrupt creation. But when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he did so in part by restoring people's physical health. Now, stay with me. We're going somewhere with this. And so there was a time when John the Baptist was in prison, and as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he sent his disciples one time to Jesus. And when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, that he was healing people and giving sight to the blind and all these kind of things, when John heard this in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you the promised Messiah, or are we still waiting for Messiah to come? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John this. Go and tell John what you hear and see, that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Now, why did Jesus answer in this way? Why didn't he just say, go tell John, I am the Messiah? Yeah, he wasn't being secretive about his answer. What Jesus was doing in this answer is he was mightily testifying of himself and his purpose and the inauguration of God coming into the world to make all things new. He wanted to remind them that the Old Testament prophets had said that when Messiah comes, these kinds of miraculous works would be proof of his identity. Just a couple of examples of that. from Isaiah 29:8, Isaiah prophesying of the coming of Messiah. In that day, when Messiah comes on the scene, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. Isaiah 35. And then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap like a deer. He went leaping and walking and praising God. The lame man shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the mute sing for joy. The waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Jesus demonstrated by his divine power of healing that his coming was the beginning, the inauguration of all things being renewed and restored that had been ruined by sin. And then, if we fast forward to the end of Jesus' life and ministry, we see him defeating sin at the cross. And if that's not enough, if that's not glorious, we see him defeating what at his resurrection? Obviously, we see him defeating the monster of all monsters of the curse, death. Because on the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He's come to reverse the curse. And he began doing that by going to a blind man saying, see. It's like God at creation saying, let there be stars. Let there be a sun. See. Hear. Walk. Lazarus, come forth. Of course, God's kingdom hasn't been fully realized yet, and it won't be until Jesus returns, which is why we still groan with all creation. But he started. He's inaugurated that change. So how do we, with our health, fit into this purpose of, this first purpose of illustrating God's kingdom of making all things new? Well, it's just by sort of not letting things just sort of go over our heads. Here's what I mean by that. In moments of sickness or frailness, which we all have, and we're all going to have, take your medicine to get better. God's not only the God of the ends, he's the God of means. And he's blessed us with Tylenol and ibuprofen and Pepto-Bismol. So when you're feeling weak and frail, rather than just let that go over your head, let that sort of be a mini picture to you, a small picture of, yeah, we do live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. My body is still groaning. But then when you've been sick and frail and weak and you're restored and you get better, rather than maybe just sort of going on your happy little way, let that be a mini picture to you of God's grand purposes of creation through Christ. You're sick, now you're well. It's so true of your soul as well. Your soul is sick, in fact, dead in trespasses and sins, but now we're made alive in Christ. And so those instances can be many, M-I-N-I, many pictures to us of God's grand plan of redemption, of what he's doing in your life and what he's doing in the entire universe. Does that kind of, I never thought about that. Does that kind of make sense? Just sort of using those things as sort of little pictures of redeeming our sicknesses and redeeming our well-being. Otherwise, we're just sick and we lie in bed and grumble and we get better and we don't reflect on God's goodness to us and giving us health. I think it's no surprise, Molly hit on this one, it's no surprise that one of the purposes for God giving us health is in order for us to serve. Well, went too far. Let's go to Paul's words in Philippians chapter 1. Oh, challenging words to my soul. Challenging words to my mind and how I think about things. I don't know if they'll be to you or not. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. That challenges my soul right there. It challenges my desires. But here's Paul. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account, and convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming again to you. In this passage, Paul is pondering the very, very real possibility of death by execution. But he's thinking about it in a most profound way. He's actually looking at these prospects in an optimistic kind of way. And with regards to either living or dying, he says, I'm hard pressed between the two. Can I just be honest with you and say, I'm rarely hard pressed between the choice of living and dying. I want to live. I think I need some thinking adjustment, some soul adjustment. Because Paul says, given these choices, it's far better to die. I know I need some thinking adjustment there. It's far better to die, because to live is Christ, but to die is to go and be with Christ and all of Christ. And he says, yet remaining in this world means fruitful labor on behalf of the Christians. And where I want to draw our attention to is on Paul's purpose for living, his purpose for his health, if you will. And Paul's purpose for his health has to do with the needs of these Philippian believers. If he was looking for the most enjoyable option or the easiest option, clearly it would be to be in glory with Christ. But he's saying, for your sake, I think I'm going to stick around for a while. I know I'm going to stick around for a while for your sake so I can serve you. And so surely a significant part of why God gives us health is so we can use it and spend it in serving God and serving others. Not merely preserve it for our own ends. There's a book for moms, by the way. Happy Mother's Day, moms. We love you and thank God for you. We wouldn't be here without you. So thank God for you. But there's a book that a lady by the name of Rachel Jankovic wrote, and I'm not sure if she's Jankovic or Jankovic, but it's one of those. And the title of the book is Loving the Little Years. And here's something that Miss Rachel said about using our bodies to serve others. And she was talking about it in the sense of motherhood. So she says, our bodies are tools, not treasures. So it's a tool, something to be used to serve, something to be used to ends. Our bodies are tools, not treasures. And she was saying to moms, you should not spend your days trying to preserve your body in its 18-year-old form. Let it be used. By the time you die, you want to have a very dinged and dented body. And motherhood uses your body in a way that God designed it to be used. And those are the right kind of damages. We are not to treat our bodies like museum pieces, They were not given to us to preserve. They were given to us to use. So use it cheerfully and maintain it cheerfully. And when you're working hard to lose the baby weight, as you may need to, think of it, that is your body, or think of that as tool maintenance. You want to fix your body up in order to be able to use it some more. Your body is a tool. Use it. And she means use it in serving God and others. Some of you guys are pretty, you're pretty choosy about your tools. And you're pretty choosy about maintaining your tools. Because you want that tool when you go to the shed or the basement or the where it is you keep those tools, your tool belt, you want that tool to be ready to go. You want it to be ready to use. And you don't just keep those tools shiny and preserved and put up in the shed somewhere so you can just go and say, see all my tools? No, you want those tools maintained. And that's the point she's getting at here, of maintaining our bodies for use. So how often then do we see the goal of our health with our bodies as using them versus simply preserving them for our ends? And then putting our bodies to good use is an act of good stewardship, but it's also an act of worship. Remember Paul's familiar words. Did I skip Paul's words or not put a slide up? Okay, sorry, I didn't put that slide in. Help me to say it. I'm thinking about Romans 12:1, where Paul says, present your blank as living sacrifices. Yeah, he said, present your bodies as living sacrifices. He's not getting all spiritual right there. He means present your eyes, your hands, your feet, your ears, your legs. He says, based on God's mercies to you in Christ, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, depending on your version, which is your spiritual service, or some versions, your spiritual worship. Meaning the same, presenting your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, that's your, in one version, that's your reasonable service. That's your reasonable worship. And then Paul spends the rest of chapter 12 talking about how we practically do that in loving and serving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So what does it look like then to use our bodies in service? And I'm going to give you a few ideas that I'm going to ask you. So be thinking, what is it going to look like to use our bodies rather than just preserve them in service? Well, maybe Miss Rachel Jankovic's comments in her book hit the nail on the head. Zero question in my mind. Zero question in my mind. That some of you are right now or have used your bodies well as tools by quite literally raising your children. And you do have those dinged bodies and those worn bodies, literally marked bodies that are a sign of the process of spending yourself for the good of your children. And kudos to you. This is also true of those who are giving of themselves to care for their parents and other seniors. There's also no question in my mind that are some of you sitting here this morning and your body's carrying in them the marks of a lifelong service in physical labor. And you've got those marks on your body. You have those dinged bodies. You have those sore joints because you have used your life and you've used your body and you've used your health to feed your family. And it was important for you to do that. Sleep or lack of sleep has a lot to do with spending our bodies. There are many, many times we get plenty of sleep and we feel rested. But as we use our bodies and our health to serve God, there are going to be other times where we're going to have to choose, just flat out choose fatigue. We're going to have to flat out choose a lack of rest. Because that baby's sick or that person has a need or that family's in trouble or whatever the case might be. We're just going to choose a lack of rest because we're going to serve others with our bodies. And that may have some impact upon our health. Of course, using our bodies to serve God and others is going to require, Julie, it's going to require maintaining our bodies. The personal responsibility of maintaining our bodies. Caring for the gift of our bodies. Caring for the gift of our health is part of being a good steward. But let's be clear about it. That's care with a purpose. Caring for our bodies, the end of doing that is not a self-glorifying idolatry of health, but rather it's a caring for our body so, as Miss Rachel said, we can get more out of our body for tomorrow, for next week, if God so wills, for next year, if God so wills. So, in that line, can you think of other examples of how we can use our bodies in service? I'll repeat your answers if you've got some ideas of how we can use our bodies, practically speaking, in service.
I keep thinking when somebody moves.
All right, Sheila says, I keep thinking when somebody moves. Yeah, serving, using our muscles and our strength to help them move, which just happened recently with the Ellis family. A little army came out. And it was an army of young men. It was an army of a little older man right back there who I was surprised to see there. you and I can't lift what this young man can lift, can we?
I could dream about it.
And, like, I've stopped jumping off the back of trucks. You know, when I was these guys' age, you didn't think you just jumped off the back of that moving truck, you jumped off the back of a pickup truck, you just jumped off down on the ground. Like, I don't know what you have to pay me to jump from there to there right now off the stage, because it would hurt tomorrow. Yeah, but it's anyhow, moving. Yeah, using our strength and to serve others and moving. Okay, Monica? Okay, so using our health to serve the church and VBS, yeah, good.
Discipleship,
using our health and our time to disciple others, that takes time and it takes effort. And again, I think about Amy Carmichael, who discipled so many people in her bed. So it's not a requirement to have good health to serve and disciple others, but it certainly is a good way to keep ourselves in good shape to do that. Anybody else?
Lucy? Also not a requirement, but hospitality.
Yeah, having health for hospitality, right? Rather than just saying, oh, I am so tired, I have no energy to have anybody over, right? I'd rather sort of try to keep ourselves in good health. Did I see another hand back there? Okay. Yeah. Good.
You don't have to do it physically. You can also do it mentally.
That brings up another point, is that we need to manage our mental health.
We do. Yep. All right. I have about a little less than 5 minutes, so let's go on to... Oh, here's what somebody... Jim Elliot, the martyred missionary. Jim Elliot, martyred in 1956 by the Alca Indians in Ecuador when he was at Wheaton College, wrote these words to his mother about why he worked out. He said, I wrestle solely for the strength and the coordination of muscle tone that the body receives while working out, with the ultimate end, that of presenting a more useful body as a living sacrifice. not merely just to go out and everybody go, ooh, he's buff. He had a higher reason for that in stewarding his body. All right, third reason, we said there were three. And look at the emphasis here, because I'm going to try to go through this very quickly. To rightly enjoy God's creation. We've seen these two verses in almost every lesson. 1 Timothy 4:4 and 1 Timothy 6:17. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, in the 1 Timothy 6:17, that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. And we've been talking about that idea of things in creation being glorioscopic, of leading us to enjoy God and to worship God in his creation. When Paul wrote those words in 1 Timothy 4:4, he was addressing some false teachers who said that to be more spiritual, you should abstain from certain physical human pleasures, like you should abstain from marriage, and you should abstain from eating certain kinds of foods that are pleasurable to enjoy. Did Paul say that was just bad doctrine? How did Paul describe that doctrine? He said, that's not only bad theology. He said, that's the doctrine of demons. That's what he assigned. That's the doctrine of demons. So God gives us good health. He's given us bodies that are intended to rightly experience the sensual, temporal pleasures of his creation. But those pleasures are not an end of themselves. Those pleasures are to be glorioscopic means by which we give thanks to God out of the things that he allows us to enjoy in our bodies and with our health. So, God knows we need energy, so he gave us food to eat. But he also gave us about 2,000 to 4,000 taste buds on our tongues so that we could enjoy what we eat and give thanks to him. That's a big problem. That could be a big problem with stewardship. We're going to talk about it in just a second. Have you ever run a race? Have you ever chopped wood? Have you ever drug a deer out of the woods? Have you ever planted and maintained a beautiful flower garden? Great reasons to thank God for the health that he's given to you in such a way that you can thank him and worship him for that. For married couples, we can thank God for the sexual health that he gives us, to enjoy the pleasures and the intimacy that he designed for us in our bodies. And there's so many other kinds of ways. But notice we put here to rightly enjoy God's creation. Because yes, those taste buds can be a problem. And so one purpose of our health is to rightly enjoy God and his creation. But just like everything else, our bodies and our health can be used for good or they can be used for ill. And if we're not good stewards of our bodies, then we can become, what Paul said, mastered by things. He said, I'll be mastered by nothing. I keep my body under. I want my body to be of service to Christ and to God, and I'm not going to let anything master my body. And when we become addicts to alcohol, drugs, food, painkillers, porn, sexual immorality, we may think, and there's a certain sense that there is pleasure for a season in sin. But that's absolutely using our bodies in a wrong kind of way to wrongly enjoy those things that are in creation. And I'm not just talking about sinful, pleasurable indulging of our bodies. We could be talking about misusing, abusing our bodies. Consistent undereating. There's consistent overeating. That's a problem. It's called gluttony. There's a consistent undereating that does not glorify God in the use of our bodies. Anorexia, bulimia. There's a widespread problem out there with people self-mutilating themselves from going to cutting, secretly cutting oneself, because that supposedly brings relief from anxiety or worry or fear or pain that I'm experiencing in other areas of my life. As we said before, cutting off perfectly healthy, perfectly God-given parts of our body. I don't know when in this room is doing that, but it happens. And these kind of things will never give us the joy that satisfies. They can actually harm our bodies and our health so they're not used in God-glorifying ways. Let me end with what our future is with our bodies, with this one verse from Scripture. Here's your future for your body. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our present lowly body to be like his glorious body forever. That's your future for your body. Jesus is starting a renewal process. He's going to finish it at his return when we get new glorified bodies. No more sickness, no more pain. And in one sense, no more stewardship. Because when we see him, we'll be like him. We've got to end. Let's pray. God, take your words and help them to land where they need to land on my heart this morning. That we can be faithful stewards of the bodies that you've given to us and that you've purchased. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we dismiss for break.